DW.
Until a few months ago, you could buy anything on this meat market in Guangzhou. Now there are only some pork feet, a lot of chicken, and here there are some intestines hanging on a meat hook. What if I want to eat snake, or a civet cat, or dog?
Are you crazy? No one dares to sell snakes now. People have been arrested for that. They can't even sell turtles. At this market, you won't find snake or dog meat or any of those kind of things.
But for those who really want it, it is possible to get some controversial meat. A little later, the salesman tells me he could sell me a snake, just not at the market. The fact that it's no longer in the stalls at the market doesn't mean it's not there anymore. The climate is tropical here in the south of China. An hour drive from Guangzhou, we meet Wang Haozhu. Wang calls himself a farmer. In the jungle behind his house, he captures porcupines from the wild, then breeds them for offspring. He's been doing so for more than 10 years. Haozhu is his nickname, and it means porcupine. Porcupines are rodents, and night animals too, so they are short-sighted. There are different kinds, and these look like guinea pigs, but with large spikes on their backs. They raise their spines when they get angry or scared. There are still traces of blood in the sand. This porcupine seems to have given birth today.
Yes, this porcupine had a baby today, just 2 hours ago. The families are together in a pen. They are happier that way. The babies are very good for making soup. I sell them for 350 yuan. That's about 50 euros. The adult porcupines sell for 1,500 yuan. The meat is soft, like silk. When you bake it, it becomes crispy, like Peking duck, but better. Of course, I like eating them. I wouldn't sell them if I didn't like the taste.
We now walk to a small office at the edge of the porcupine raising area. First, we clean our boots. Since Chinese New Year in January, Wang has not sold any porcupines anymore. The sale and consumption of wildlife has been banned, but it is not yet clear if this will be temporarily or a more permanent ban. Wang is sure that he can pick up his sales soon. But will he? There is a fierce lobby in China to convince the government to better protect wildlife and the natural environment. Many NGOs are working together at this time, where the coronavirus epidemic has shown just how badly such protection is needed. Because right now, some animals might be called wildlife, but are protected better than others. And it is unclear what the rules are on, for example, the offspring of some wild animals. The NGOs are strongly supported by public opinion.
Hi, Ivan, Li Shuo speaking.
Li Shuo from Greenpeace in Beijing confirms that.
We're riding on a wave that COVID-19 generates. I think the political appetite and also the public appetite are quite high, both protect the environment, but also to prevent further outbreak. This system does not exist in China. There are a lot of gray areas. We need to define what are the species that we would perceive as wildlife. Would duck be counted as wildlife? You know, civet cats be counted as wildlife?
New, more strict regulation is needed to prevent a new virus outbreak in the future. But making new rules is difficult for the central government. As Li says, the social effect should not be taken lightly.
No one should underestimate the complexity, probably the need for compromise and the need to tackle some of the very difficult issues.
The problem is not only wildlife and their habitat. In recent years, breeding wild animals has been stimulated by the government. The value of the entire industry is estimated at almost 67 billion euros. Almost 15 million people are making a living of breeding or selling animals that would naturally live in the wild. There should be a social plan for them as well, many think.
We received 300 yuan per porcupine as an annual subsidy from the government. Now, that same government would ban the breeding. That is impossible. I have a license and we're farmers. If we can't keep animals and sell them, how else will we make a living?
Wang's wife now puts an enormous bottle on the table. It's one of those 10-liter plastic bottles in which Chinese often infuse their liquor. In this one, there's a layer of red ginseng on the bottom. Above float some of the black and white spikes of the porcupine. It improves the blood flow and has a positive effect on the joints, Wang says. And his wife asks me if I need to drive a car today.
Wow.
We make it ourselves. Farmers don't buy it. They're poor. They can't afford it. Government officials buy it. Yes, they love to drink.
And those officials are exactly the type of people who have to make sure that laws that the central government in Beijing makes are implemented. Here in the jungle, Beijing feels very, very far away.
I'm not afraid of the government forbidding me to sell the pigs. Even if Xi Jinping were sitting right in front of me, I wouldn't be afraid of him. If he doesn't bully me, I won't bully him.
Even if the law on biodiversity becomes more strict, then still on a local level it might not be enforced. Zhou Junfeng leads a large Chinese NGO that over the past few months attracted thousands of volunteers for the fight to preserve biodiversity in China. He has a few suggestions for the lawmakers in Beijing.
There are three major points we want to make, how to amend the weather protection law. And the first one is we want to change it from wildlife protection law to biodiversity law. Protect all wildlife as well as their habitats. We think all endangered species should be banned into traditional medicine.
The third point Joe's organization makes is a suggestion to make law enforcement more effective on a local level.
The public should have the right to sue, to put litigations against the local authority, to participate into the protection.
Wang Haozhu and his wife Pan are not necessarily opposed to more protection for the jungle and the wildlife around them. On the contrary, Pan says she releases two porcupines every year, a male and a female. It is a sacrifice which fits with her Buddhist beliefs. Both do believe the animal's habitat should be better protected. Meanwhile, a porcupine has escaped. Pan holds a net and she's looking for the animal in the bushes. It's a fully grown porcupine, so it's worth a lot of money. Wang is watching what happens from a distance. And now he throws a rock in the bushes. Will the porcupine come back? Yes, says Wang. But for now, the animal will stay where it is, in the wild. Eva Ramelow, DW, Guangzhou, China.
DW.